Before we get started on the proclamation with the five wonderful young ladies are coming up to talk with us, I'd like to give a little brief history of the story of Mother's Day and some humor that I found. The earliest Mother's Day celebrations can be traced back to the spring celebration of ancient Greece in honor of Rhea, the mother of the gods. During the 1600s, England celebrated a day called Mothering Sunday, celebrated on the fourth Sunday of Lent, the 40-day period leading up to Easter. Mothering Sunday honored the mothers of England. In the United States, Mother's Day was first suggested in 1872 by Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic as a day dedicated to peace. Ms. Howe would hold organized Mother's Day meetings in Boston, Massachusetts every year. In 1907, Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began a campaign to establish a National Mother's Day. Ms. Jarvis persuaded her mother's church in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on the second anniversary of her mother's death, the second Sunday of May. By the next year, Mother's Day was also celebrated in Philadelphia. Mrs. Jarvis and her supporters began to write to ministers, businessmen, and politicians in a quest to establish a National Mother's Day. It was successful, as by 1911, Mother's Day was celebrated in almost every state. President Woodrow Wilson, in 1914, made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. And some of the humor I found, life skills my mother taught me. To value a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, go outside. I just got done cleaning. Time travel. If you do not straighten up, I will knock you into the middle of next week. Logic. Because I said so, that's why. How many have heard that? And my mom's favorite, foresight. Make sure you always wear clean underwear. You never know when you'll be in an accident. Osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Contortionism. Would you just look at that dirt on the back of your neck? Hypocrisy. If I told you once, I told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. Behavior. Stop acting like your father. Genetics. You're just like your father. Wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. And last but not least, justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Okay, at this time, we're going to ask Donna Meitzel to come up and speak for you. We have Donna Meitzel, Lori Shackelford, Elaine Everts, Adela Prey, and Ruth Caldwell.
Good morning. To me, being a mother is a blessing and a gift from God to be entrusted with the future and direction of a person's life. I believe that God has a plan for everything, and as Madison and I grow together, we will influence one another according to God's plan. I truly believe that in order for Madison to fulfill her divine purpose in life, she was placed into our life and into our specific household. Several people have asked me how motherhood is going since I brought Madison home. And I remember one person as I was out and about in the community saying, I just love to see a new mother's reaction is always more than what they really expected. And I said, yes, actually it is. She has enriched our lives more than we ever could have imagined. The month that we spent in the hotel, as everything was finalized 1,000 miles away, all now seems like a blur. The colicky days when Beret was in Iraq seemed like years ago, but not really. And the sleepless nights, really, in truth, aren't so bad at all. I'm very thankful that things worked out with Madison as they did. And some of you know the story and some of you don't, but I'm going to share it with you. We had tried to adopt twice before, and we never really thought about adopting. I mean, someone pursued us. And we had no idea there were scams where people would go after other people to adopt a child but they really didn't want you to adopt the child. They wanted you to provide for them. And so as we provided for these people, the first time on the day of the birth, she changed her mind. And then just a few months later, she approached us again. She was pregnant again. And we thought, oh no, we're not falling for this again. But she was living in a shed behind someone else's house. This was her fifth child, who none of them lived with her, except for the last one. And there was no heat in the shed, and it was wintertime. So we talked about it, and finally we said, okay, we'll do it. We thought, you know, for sure she was serious this time. And so then a lot of you know the story. On the final day of the final hour, she changed her mind. And Brian and I we couldn't figure out why in the world this happened. But we knew that we could never figure out God's plan at that moment. So we went on. And then I poured myself into work that year, and a great blessing came out of that. 4 months later, we were the number one Mary Kay unit in our entire seminar. We did a million. And part of that, I know, was because I poured myself into my work so hard over those last final months. And so the funny thing was, I had to give a speech in front of 12,000 people. And I usually don't write my speeches early. I wrote this one 20 minutes before I got here this morning. But so I wrote my speech 3 weeks early, which was a rare thing for me. And God said, change it. So the day before, I changed it. I changed everything about my speech. And I just lightly mentioned in my speech, this was part of the change, the things that my Mary Kay unit went through that year to press on to finish as number one. Because we had people who went through divorces, we had people who went through domestic violence, we had people that went through all kinds of sicknesses, and then I just lightly shared my own adoption story that fell through. And then 3.5 months later, I got a phone call out of the blue from someone that had been sitting in the audience. It was the mother who had a daughter who was pregnant, who needed someone to adopt her child. The next day, Madison was born, and history was made. And it's been really an exciting roller coaster ever since. I do want to share one faith story that we had. It was really a difficult time as we were going back and forth to this place. And I promised the person I wouldn't share exactly where we were, but so we were just flying back and forth, driving back and forth, and the paperwork was not moving forward. And it was not anything that was wrong with our end. It was the attorney trying to match up the two states. So, you know, I was just thinking, and this had been now a month had gone on, and my Mary Kay business was, you know, suffering because I had not been home to help these ladies sell. And so we were driving home for me to come make an appearance for my unit so that I could, you know, be with them. And I prayed to God and said, God, if this is not going to work out, please let me know. If this is the path I'm supposed to be on, please just let me know. And a funny thing happened that night. And people would never in a million years believe this, but it's a true story. We were driving in the middle of nowhere, and we had just recently left a gas station. And all of a sudden, Ray goes, look at that. Can you believe it? I mean, we were in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, we saw something flying like this in the air. It was doing this. It wasn't that it was flying and then plopping on the ground. It was doing this in the air. And I go, what is it? And Ray goes, it's money. And I'm like, no, it can't be money. And so, I mean, he got out of the car, literally. We stopped the car. And he got out of, and here's Bray, because he, you know, you're like, what in the world's happening? Is this like drug money? Is it, does somebody lose this money? And there's nowhere around that we can turn the money in. So here's Bray.
The money's doing this.
So he puts it in his pocket. He gets in the car. We never counted it, and later he counted it. It was about $600. And so he had asked God if I was on the right path. If we had been 1 second later, that would have never happened. Cars were going past us. No one saw it but us. No one. And at the time it was happening, we're like, you know, how can they not see this money in the air? And I sat in the car and I go, it's manna. And he got back in the car and he said, oh, and he kept money in his pocket. He said, this must be for you. I had just in my mind thought, I need to get some postage stamps so I can mail people postcards from the hotel. And it was postage stamps that was in all that money. And that's my faith story with Madison. So we knew that we were on the right path. And yes, it's been a roller coaster ride, but it's been a great ride. And you know the way to enjoy a roller coaster ride, don't you? You don't hang on to the bars. You put your hands in the air, and you really enjoy the ride. Thank you.
Okay, I have a feeling we're all going to be crying before we leave here, but I promised my daughter I wouldn't embarrass her, but Genesis 33:5 tells us that children are a gift from God. What a God, and what a gift, and what a responsibility to know that you are not only responsible for yourself and your actions, but for another person as well. And boy, does it change your life. Donna, you are in for a roller coaster ride. I'm going to introduce you to my family first. There are some people here that have known me and my sister and my mom, but didn't know that we were all related. Took Doug like 3 years, and we hang out at his house. My mom is Jean Lambert. You're just going to stand up. My sister is in the back. That's Pam Thompson. Gallimore. Okay, maiden name Thompson, married name Gallimore. This is her husband, Barry, and her son is Justin. And Heather is my daughter. You're going to stand up, too. Stand up. And Kenny Shackelford and Bob Lambert, that's my husband and my mother's husband. So we have three generations here, and we've been raised here all of our lives. So just so you guys will know who we are. Okay, adopted sister, front row, Dawnstone, and her too. Okay. Amanda's back there laughing too. We all want more for our children than we had. You want it bigger, better, new opportunities. But to my mom, I thank you for everything. I miss nothing growing up. I had parents that loved me. I had a stable home and everything that fit in between. And I thank you, Mom. Okay. Now, I said this wouldn't be a Hallmark card, so we're going to move on. Me and Kenny only had one daughter, and some of you have always asked why we only had one. Well, halfway through a long labor, my husband felt so sorry for me that he promised me that if I could get through this, he would never make me do it again. And I held him to it. That's only partly true. That really did happen. But once we had Heather, she just completed our family, and we knew that all we did was pour out our love on her, and she just made us complete. And so we proceeded to spoil her. Yes, and she acknowledges that. But she does complete our family. She makes us laugh and smile. And we go shopping together. We go to the gym and work out together, and we talk all the time. She come home Friday night about midnight and said, stay up and talk to me. So we just goof around and talk, and she's just a joy in my life. Unfortunately, I don't have a quiet child. She can talk to anybody, anywhere, about anything. But when she's sad, we're sad. Children bring out all kinds of emotions in us, emotions you didn't even know you had. You can be sitting in a ball game and just start crying because your child's out there playing on the field, doing good and not getting hurt. You just start crying. So much love just boils up in you when you have a child that you just can't imagine ever being able to love someone as much as you love your child. You do everything you can do to protect them. And worry was a new emotion for me. I never worried much about anything until the older she gets. I don't know how my mom did it. Now, when I know where my mom got all her gray hair from. Fortunately, for my generation, some great person invented this new thing called a cell phone. I remember when I was little, every time you left the house, call me when you get there. Well, when you're on the receiving end of that, it doesn't mean a whole lot. I didn't call very much. So I know how much now my mom worried. But this great person that invented a cell phone had to be a mom, because now it's just great. If she doesn't call me, where are you at? So it cut down on a lot of the worrying and stuff. But now that she's driving and I'm no longer the taxi driver, we have to keep in touch a little more than we used to. When you take her and leave her, you know where she's at. When she's out driving, you wonder until you hear for that one phone call that says, "I made it safe." Seriously, though, in about 2 years, I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. I've already warned my husband. When Heather goes off to college, there's going to be this empty nest syndrome. So I'm warning you guys, too, because y'all are going to have to pitch in and help. He's not going to be able to pick up all the slack when Heather's off to school. So I'm giving everybody a heads up on that. We tell Heather that we love her every day, out loud. I never miss a day to tell Heather that I love her. And there's a song that comes on the radio. Some of you may have heard it. It's about a mother whose child dies. He leaves the house one morning and gets in an accident and dies. And the song is about the mother who said, "If I had known, I would have told you I loved you one more time." So I never try to miss an opportunity to tell Heather how much I love her. And at work, when Heather was in second grade, she used to come to where I work, and she'd play on the typewriter, and she'd write me a little note, and then she'd bring it to my desk, and I'd write her a little answer, and then she'd go back and type some more. Well, she didn't know I kept this until early this morning when I said, "By the way, I'm going to share this, okay?" And I keep this under my desk pad at work, so if I'm having a long day or a rough day, I just pull it out and read it, and I can just smile and keep going. Now, remember, she was in second grade. This is the end of that day. "Thank you, and sorry that you could not understand correctly what I wrote. Have a nice day, and one more thing. I'm glad I have a mom that cares and loves for me almost as much as God. I think the same thing about Daddy. I love the both of you the same. That means that I love you both more than you love me, except the one and only God, even both of you. P.S. Just do the math. If I love Daddy and Mommy more, and they love someone else more, just look how many people I love more."
I've been pondering on this for a while, and what does being a mother mean to me? First of all, I'm very proud to be a mom. I have two wonderful children, and they have made me so proud all the time. I have my little angel, who is always there for me, and I have my young man, who makes me proud. As a military wife and mother, I learned very quickly I would be required to be more than a mother, as many of you have been through this. On Mother's Day, 1983, Brad and I traveled to Germany to be with Wayne. Brad was only 3 months old. I had a wake-up call when I got there. Wayne worked very long hours, to include many, many Saturdays and Sundays. Sometimes if I wanted the car, I would have to get Bradley up at 5 a.m., take Wayne to work, and it would be until 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening before he would be done. I learned that I didn't have any family over there, so you had to learn to rely on your friends and those people around you, and you surrounded yourself with good Christian people. And I learned that I couldn't do everything by myself. I had to have help at some points. Then we moved to Fayetteville, now having both Brad, 33 months, and Amy Jo, only 2 weeks old. Wayne was still gone a lot, still living far from home, far from family. I knew I couldn't do it alone. It was at that time when I began to search for a church home. I went to several different churches. I went to Baptist churches because my neighbor was Baptist and they invited me to go there. I went on post to see if I could find a church. And there was a young lady when Wayne was in Egypt the first time that invited me to come to St. Matthew's. Her name is Linda Elliott. She was never a member. She just came and she had her three children with her. And that's when I started coming. But every night, Brad and Amy Jo and I would say our prayers together before we went to bed. I could not have been the mother I am without the help of the Lord and this church family. Two women who are no longer with us, who were spiritual mothers to myself and my children, are Linda Snyder and Eleanor Stewart. These women they encompassed you. I know that they encompassed many, many people and just were wonderful wonderful women who taught you many things. Many other women in this church have been spiritual mothers to all of the children who have been raised here at St. Matthew's. As a mother, I have tried to instill both moral and spiritual values in my children. Now that my children are grown, one serving in the military and one at college, I pray daily for them, praying that they will seek the Lord's guidance in whatever they do, and that He will keep them safe wherever they go. Proverbs 23:25 states, "So give your parents joy. May she who gave you birth be happy." My children have given me many years of happiness and joy, and I am very proud to be their mother. Now that Bradley has safely returned from Iraq, I would like to share this poem with you from Roger J., and I think it's Robeco. I'm not sure I said his name correctly. It says, "My soldier's mom, my child, you glow in uniform. In pride I live, my heart so warm. I have such precious thoughts cascade, some old, some new, not one will fade. How hard that day we said goodbye, the joy, the pain etched in my eye. You left to serve our country well, my perfect one, my tears did swell. No better soldier could there be, for in my love, that's all I see. Oh, how I pray for you each day. Be safe, be well. God guide your way. I keep your home in wait with me. Your mom will guard it faithfully. How great the day when you'll return. We'll talk and talk, night's light to burn. My soldier's mom is who I am, while you do proud for Uncle Sam."
Martha Bailey, Leela Mecklen, Frances Bagley, Linda Snyder, Ginger Sessoms, Jewel Sharp, and Ethel Smith. Having grown up with these plus some in St. Matthew's, I had some wonderful role models for mothers. They were kind, gentle words, love, caring, encouragement, and guidance given by all of these plus some that I'm sure that I have left. In fact, one of which was Mrs. Gibson, who was Grover Green's mother-in-law, and I can't remember her first name. All of the attributes of Christian motherhood, I never gave any thoughts to being a mom. I started babysitting at 13 and basically always had little ones around me. Choosing to teach special needs children, I always had children and their needs to consider. Many times wishing that I could figure out a way to make a better situation, especially the living situation for these lives. Bob and I met and married, still not giving a lot of thoughts about motherhood, and after a miscarriage, decided to pursue adoption. We began applications here in Cumberland County. Then we moved to Berlin, tried again, then to Louisville, Kentucky. My statement in Louisville was, "I'll fill out this paperwork one more time. And if they don't call us, then it's just not meant for there to be a special child of our own in our lives. We'll just have to love and help take care of everybody else's." In 10 days, we received a call from a social worker asking if we would consider helping a foster child that they needed to isolate from the mother to force the mother to make a decision on whether to give the child up for adoption or not. The mother had threatened to throw this child off of a second floor balcony and had done a number of other things, one of which was forcing her to sit in a chair with her hands folded while they played the drums in the dining room. And I found out that this occurred probably for several hours on end at different times. My comment to Bob was, "We can love her and we can give her a stable environment for the 3 or 6 months. And our lives changed forever. She came to live with us on December 10th. You talk about a special Christmas gift from God. Shortly after Christmas, we were told that Mom was willing to give her up her parental rights if we would adopt her because she had seen us, and she thought that we would make good parents for her. The judicial system worked with the DSS workers, and we left Louisville with Julianne in June. This was 25 years ago. There have been many trials and tribulations during these 25 years, but God has always been there to offer the protection and the guidance, showing us which direction to go along each step of the way. Even when things were rough during the adolescent years, God always gave me the strength to say, I cannot give up on her. She has too much to offer in this life. After all the struggles, trials, and tribulations, I can truly say that God does indeed bless mothers with strength, with kindness, with the ability to encourage and to love, as well as offer the gentle words and the guidance to children and grandchildren, as well as those that God allows us to influence through whatever methods we influence. Thank God for all mothers.
You've heard it said that they save the best till the last. But today they changed it. They save the oldest till the last. I'm going to do sort of a summary, I guess. A woman's life is never quite the same after the moment she holds her firstborn in her arms. It is a mountaintop experience that is repeated with each subsequent birth. I've had three. Following infancy, we deal with the terrible twos, the starting to school, high school, graduation, off to college, or the military service, or a job. Another graduation, marriage, grandchildren that you can spoil and send back to their parents. As another generation cycle begins, great-grandchildren, and sometimes even great-greats. One of the greatest thrills in a mother's life is seeing her children and grandchildren accept Jesus Christ and become active in church. I would like to close my remarks with a poem written by William Wordsworth in 1802. He has written this poem about his wife. She was a phantom of delight. She was a phantom of delight when first she gleamed upon my sight, a lovely apparition sent to be a moment's ornament. Her eyes as stars of twilight fair, like twilight too her dusky hair, but all things else about her drawn from Maytime and the cheerful dawn, a dancing shape, an image gay, to haunt, to startle and waylay. I saw her upon nearer view, a spirit, yet a woman too, her household motions light and free, and steps of virgin liberty, a countenance in which did meet sweet records, promises as sweet. A creature not too bright or good for human nature's daily food. For transient sorrows, simple wiles, praise, blame, love, kisses, tears, and smiles. And now I see with eye serene the very pulse of the machine. A being breathing thoughtful breath. A traveler between life and death. The reason firm, the temperate will, endurance, foresight, strength, and skill. A perfect woman, nobly planned, to warn, to comfort, and command. And yet a spirit still and bright with something of angelic light.